In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The passage that we just heard is from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it is the reading also, the Gospel of the ninth hour that we pray from the Agbeh every day. And this passage speaks about the Lord blessing the five loaves and two fish and make them to be enough to feed 5,000 men, bless their families. And so this paragraph is typically known in the church as the passage of the blessings. And the blessing is something that we all pursue. Everything sometimes with us, with our spiritual life, we are aiming at looking for the blessings that we are going to receive from this kind of practice. We pray, we come to the church, take communion, we visit holy places, we take the blessings of the saints. All of this, at the end, we are looking for a blessing to come to us. A blessing in the Old Testament is different than the New Testament. In the Old Testament, people had no hope in heaven. So the only thing that God can promise them are all materialistic things. All of the rewards, all of the promises are about, if you do this, if you are right with God, God is going to bless you with abundance, with the land, with prosperity. And this is how people understood a relationship with God. I do something right, and then I receive a reward. It's exactly like dealing with a child. You have to show him something that he can see and perceive and touch in order for you to be able to convince him to do what is right. But the concept of blessings changed entirely in the New Testament. It is not anymore like people understood it in the Old Testament. St. Paul speaks to the Ephesians and says, "Blessed is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing." So blessings in the New Testament is understood with a spiritual way. That's why sometimes we stumble and we keep thinking, why I'm not blessed, as I know what blessing is. I think blessings means God is going to make me to prosper in a certain way, to maybe have some positions, and this position is going to increase. But this concept, as I said, it changed. And then we can find that in the New Testament that sometimes pain is a blessing, that being in tribulations is a blessing, as we will just see in a minute. So what we're going to talk about today is the concept of blessing. What does it mean? The forms of spiritual blessings, what exactly you should be aiming at, expecting from God as a blessing. And the second point will be the causes of the blessings, how a man will be blessed. And the third point will be about what blessing is not about. What are the forms of spiritual blessings, or some of the forms of spiritual blessings that we should be looking for when we are pursuing this kind of blessing? The first one is success. And success is different when we define it as spiritual beings versus how the world, or how the children of the world, define success. For the world, they define success as abundance. As I climb the ladder of success and become in a certain rank. So for example, being the CEO, meaning this person is the most successful person in his company, or how this is how he is perceived. But the blessings that we receive from God is different, because success in a spiritual sense means that I am successful on all fronts. All fronts means in everything I handle, in everything I take care of, God will give me success in it. Maybe I'm not the highest rank in my company, but I'm doing well. Maybe I'm not the richest person, but thank God I have what is enough. In my relationships, I am successful. In dealing with people, I still can gain them, I can get along with them easily. All of these are signs of a spiritual success, spiritual blessing. God is giving this person that he become favored in whatever he handles. The good examples from the Bible are Daniel and Joseph. Daniel, we know that he was the prime minister in the land of Babylon, a Jew taken as a captive, and then he becomes successful to the point that the king of Babylon, Darius, thought of making him the leader of the whole land, the man in charge of everyone. Daniel was successful in all fronts, to the point that he has no fault in his work. His enemies tried to get something against him, to complain against him to the king, and they couldn't find any. He was blessed. This is not a normal success. any person, no matter how successful he is in whatever he or she is doing, still can do some mistakes. But to be without any fault, this is something special. This is a blessing. This is God's favor. With Joseph, it was the same. This man was successful. And the two times that we hear about God was with Joseph was in chapter 37. And in this chapter, it starts by Joseph working as a slave in the house of Potiphar. God was with him while he was a slave. The second time we hear the same statement, God was with Joseph and he was a successful man, was at the end of the chapter when Joseph ended up in prison. I don't think any of us would be in a situation like this and he can think of himself or herself as being successful. Being in prison or being enslaved, neither of these kind of circumstances would make us feel content or that I'm doing well. But in order for God to give us this hint about he was successful still, working as a slave or being a prisoner, still I was with him and he was successful even while his circumstances were not the best. The second blessing, spiritual blessing that we aim at, should expect when we pursue this blessing is that God would bless the family that we live in. This is the words of Psalm 128, speaking about blessed the man who fears the Lord. How he is going to be blessed? Then we hear, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The blessing doesn't come only on the person, but also extends to the people around him. As God promised Abraham, I will make you a blessing. You yourself will bring you blessings wherever you go. And this is what will happen. Blessings will come, extend from this person who pursue God in all of his ways, will come upon his family. We all know that all families have issues. There is no family who is not struggling one way or another. This doesn't mean that God is out. As far as the end of the day, people are careful not to upset God, who owns the house. As far as we feel like guests in our home, and God is the one who is taking the lead in every word we say, in every action we do, in every show we watch in the TV, in everything that we command for our children, at the end of the day, we work in this house, but God owns it. Once this is the case, then God will extend his hand and bless the people living in this house. This is something that we all aim at, that God would bless our homes. In order for this to happen, God has to own the house. God should be the one who dictates every word and every action in the household that we live in. The third form of spiritual blessing is the knowledge of God in terms of wisdom and understanding. I'm not speaking about mere intellectual knowledge of God. People can teach theology courses in universities and they are atheists. But I mean this person has the wisdom and understanding. Whatever he handles, whatever he does, is guided by the Spirit of God in him. This is something that's a blessing from God. Wisdom is not intelligence. Many people are intelligent, but they are not wise. And wisdom is not knowledge. I can be knowledgeable, but at the end of the day, I make foolish decisions. Wisdom is that God would grant a person the same scale by which God uses to measure things. God has a scale, and on this scale, he measures everything and everybody and give way to this thing. For example, God would put something on a scale and saying, this is dust, this is trash, nothing. Unfortunately, we can put the same thing on the scale, on our scale, and say, this is precious, this is wonderful. We spend hours doing what God at the end of the day called it as nonsense. On the other hand, God might put something like his book on the scale and say, this is gold. This is the book that will guide you through life safely. We put on our scale and say, oh yeah, this is good, but at the end of the day, it has no time. We cannot allocate anything to spend with this book that God on his scale values as the book that every man should read, know, and live by. Wisdom means God will grant you his scale, which is amazing. You will be able to measure things as God measures them. You will have the same glasses, if I can say this expression, that God sees things with. And then when you look at something, you say, this is valuable. God will say the same. When you look at something else and say, this is something that's not worth my time. You will value every word you say and say, this is gold. I can say it. I can gain people with it. No, this is harmful. It has no meaning that I say it or I use it. So this is the wisdom that God grant as a blessing for those people who love and fear him. When we hear God says about Egypt, blessed is Egypt, my people. Sometimes we keep wondering, where is this blessing? The country has been always suffering, living in persecutions. All of the Christians in Egypt, they lived under persecution since they were Christians, either from the Romans, from the Chalcedonians, or from the Muslims. So where is the blessing here? The country is living in poverty, and we all know the circumstances over there. So where is the blessing? But till this moment, still people are worshiping God in Egypt. Monasteries are filled with people who dedicate their lives to go and worship the Almighty God. Still people fear God, go to the churches in many, many places and countless numbers. All of these are blessings. If you ask a lay person in Egypt, some of the people who come to the church just like maybe every now and then, they have the basic knowledge that some people may be ranked as the most intellectual and smart people in this world. They have nothing to know about this kind of information. Really, we are blessed in Egypt with the knowledge of God and the fear of God that was instilled in the hearts of the Egyptians since they knew Christ and followed him. Another example is Saint Paul. This man was blessed with wisdom. Everything he said, everything he did was guided by the Spirit of God in him. The fourth form of spiritual blessing is acceptance and favor. When God blesses a person, he gives this kind of appeal to this person. Appeal doesn't make him a movie star, doesn't make him a celebrity or her, but makes this person accepted by others and accepted by God as well. Look at what the angel said to Saint Mary. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. How Saint Mary was blessed? She lived in poverty. In the beginning of her pregnancy, Saint Joseph doubted her. And then later on, when she gave birth, she has to flee to Egypt. Everything was going in opposite direction. Everything was difficult. But she was favored by God. He chose her. He listened to what she has to say. When she asked him to do something in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, he changed the whole plan about when he's going to start to manifest himself and did for her whatever she asked him. This is favor. A person who is blessed from God, whatever he says, God will look at it, will listen, because this person is one of those people blessed by him. It's a form of a blessing that we all aim at, that whatever we pray for, whatever we ask God, God will accept from us. Not only him, but also the people whom we deal with. God will give us favor in their eyes and how they perceive us. The fifth form is aiding the individual's salvation. This is maybe one of the blessings that we are all at the end of the day. If we are deprived of any other blessings, God, please grant us this one. That whatever happens, whatever we choose at the end, make it for us to be a way for salvation. And God would do it once we ask for it. And once we are truly, sincerely seeking this, he will make even your mistakes and your choices to be a part of the story of your salvation. Saving one individual is more difficult than creating heaven and earth. What did it take from God to create heaven and earth? Just a word from his mouth and his will, done. But in order for a person to be saved, it's a great deal of work. God to work with this person, being patient with him, walking with this person while this person is taking the opposite direction, waiting patiently, calling other people to visit and talk with this person, it's a great deal of effort that God has to do it, because at the end you have to approve the plan. But why God would stick to a person? Maybe this person is trying. Maybe people are praying for him. Maybe this person is doing a lot of things that are wrong, but God might bless him by still granting him at the end of the day that he would be saved. God will work with him even while this man at a certain time is not working with himself. The second point, what are the causes of blessings? The first thing is to love the blessing, to seek it, to pursue it, to value it. If I value something and I work for it, most likely God will grant it to me. The problem is, sometimes we are seeking only spiritual, only materialistic blessings. What we ask for is, we have more of this, or we acquire this kind of like favor in term of like materialistic things. Nothing wrong with it. We are human beings at the end of the day. But if I am not putting my heart behind a spiritual blessings, then God will feel like, you don't really care about this. Why should I give you this? The good example of pursuing a certain blessing was King Solomon. In a dream, God appeared to him, and God gave him a blank check. Solomon, ask, and I will give to you. Imagine if this happened with any one of us. What will come to your mind, the first thing you will say? Solomon took his time to thank God and to acknowledge what he did with him, and then he asked for, give me your servant an understanding heart, so I can discern between what is good and what is evil. Solomon was the son of a king, David. He was taught as a king, and he was an intelligent person. But still, when he asked it from God, he asked it for wisdom. Give me this kind of blessings that I cannot teach to myself. No matter how careful I am, how diligent I am in learning, I will never be able to get this kind of wisdom that you only have it. King Solomon loved wisdom, and God granted to him. So the first thing is, if you want to be blessed in a spiritual way, love the blessing and pursue it with all your heart, not as, of course, something that we fake before God. We don't mean it. The second cause is fearing and trusting God. Look here what the psalmist is saying. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Trusting and fear come together. Faith and fear of God usually come with each other. If I walk with God while really I do not have any regard of his presence, or I don't trust that he's going to grant me really the success that I'm after, I have to do it on my own, I doubt much if I can attain a spiritual blessing. Maybe I attain a worldly success, but not the spiritual one. The good example from the Bible is the widow of Zarephath. This woman, she hosted Elijah at the time of the famine. There is no resources, and she was using like a kind of oil and flour for every day to bake a cake and eat from it, she and her son. On the last day, when today this is the last cake, bread, I'm going to cake and to cook and die, then Elijah comes to her and asks her something. Give me something to eat. The widow of Zarephath, she had now a choice to make. This is the last oil and flour I have. If I give you, means I die. But you are the man of God. How can I deny your request? And she chose what is against what everyone would do. She begged for Elijah. What happened? His house was blessed, and she would never deprive it of any kind of flour or oil. Everything was given to her in abundance. Why? It's not because the man of God came. It's not because Elijah prayed for her. It is because she trusted and feared God. If we do this, blessing will come. But here there's a choice that needs to be made before we expect the blessing. The third reason or cause for blessing is obedience, listening. In a world where everyone is a god, it is very hard now to find people that say, yes, okay, hadr. We like this whenever we are requesting this from others. Definitely, the lesson that we repeat the most for our children, be obedient, say hadr. But when it comes to us, how do we react? What do we do? When we are requested for something that doesn't make sense for us, or we don't agree with it full-heartedly, I'm still inclined to obey and say hadr, or I find difficulty because I don't like it. Abraham was the example. He was the one. His obedience made him blessed in everything that he handled, to the point of giving his son. It's too hard for anyone even to think about it, but this is the reason behind Abraham being the man that God blessed and made him the father of all the patriarchs. The story about Saint John the Short, one of the monks, famous monks in Egypt, that his abbot asked him, go and take the stick and plant it 12 miles away from where I live. 12 miles walking with a stick and watering it every day. What do we call this? Definitely this wouldn't make any sense if we just say the story even to our maybe friends at school or in our workplace. But this stick blossomed, became a tree. Because of what? Because of the obedience of Saint John the Short. He did something amazing, just obeying. I am under the order of this man. I follow him no matter what, even if he doesn't make sense to me. I do it for God. And God looked upon him and blessed him. Samuel the prophet said this to Saul the king. Listening is better than offering a sacrifice. Obedience is regarded before God maybe better than the giving that you give to his house. The fourth cause of blessing is God's presence and order, structure. In the miracle that we just heard today, the Lord Christ was among the people and he ordered the disciples to sit the multitude, let them sit in order, and then he blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. These 2 things were there before he blesses everything, his presence and order. I imagine if he is absent, definitely the miracle wouldn't take place. And if people in chaos, running and rushing, it's give me here, give me all this, I didn't take enough loaves, please give me, hand me another fish, what will happen? I would imagine that the whole setup will be something that the Lord wouldn't feel comfortable to stay in. Before he gives, he asks the disciples, sit them in groups of 50. Make sure that the place is organized in order. That's why we try to stick to this in our church, making it a place befits the presence of God. When he is among us and everyone is respecting his presence by sticking to order, we expect a blessing to happen. The last point is, what blessing is not about? What need to be corrected in our minds about the perception of the blessings? The first point is, blessing of God is not a charm. Touching the relics of a saint is not going to bring an automatic blessing. Coming to the church, maybe late, lighting a candle, talking to the people in the lobby, or going to the CYC without even passing by the place is not going to bring a blessing. Coming maybe at 10:30, coming to the communion and then take communion and leave, this is not going to bring a blessing. I think even it might bring us into some kind of judgment before God. The good example of what I mean took place at the time of Eli the priest. Eli was a priest that God did not like. Why? Because Eli have 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Both of them were corrupt priests. They took bribes and they dealt with the people in a way that God abhorred. So what happened? Israel went to war against the Philistines. God's presence was granted when the people said, let us bring the Ark of the Covenant with us. The Ark of the Covenant was laid in the tabernacle of meeting. So for the priest to take it to the war, it's a big deal. And then what happened? Not only Israel lost the battle and everyone was killed, including the 2 children of Eli, but also the Ark of the Covenant was taken was stolen in war. When we think about it, how God you allow this to happen? Simply, I was not there. Yes, the symbol of my presence was there, but it's not a charm. It's not something that brings automatic blessings. I just didn't want to be among the people because they did not fear me. So we have to fix this in our understanding. Just putting on a cross on our around our necks is not going to bring us the blessings of the cross. It is when I truly carry it on my shoulder and I choose it in whatever I'm doing. It's not just coming to the church and doing whatever that's going to get me blessed. Blessing is not a charm. Carrying oil or putting hanut bit'at al-qaddisin, all of this would work when truly you are pursuing God, not in a way that's like contradicting what we truly are after in our lives. The second thing is blessing is not about, God's blessing is not always accompanied by material abundance or pain-free life. And this concept is difficult sometimes for us to understand, but it is the truth. In New Testament, you can be a blessed man, so much favored by God, and you are incurring a great deal of pain. Look at the icons of the martyrs. Saint Rebecca here, losing her children in martyrdom, and at the end also she was killed. Saint John, Saint George, Saint Marcus Abu Sufyan, all those people, their life was by any scale difficult, but still they were blessed from God. We need, in a way, to reconcile these two things. God can bless my life while I'm still incurring difficulties, provided, of course, that I did not bring them upon my own head. It's not that I went and I stole something, I went to prison, and then I say, God blessed me by giving me pain. No, this is something I brought upon my own head. I played with fire and I'm just burning with it. So this concept, again in the New Testament, is valid. I can be a blessed person by God. I'm still going through hard time, facing difficulties. Things are not going in my favor, which is fine. At the end of the day, I will be rewarded and will come to an end, this kind of tribulation, one way or another. The third concept that needs to change about our perception of a blessing is not a substitute for hard work and diligence. I remember this when we were children, and we had one of the fathers that we liked. So whenever Abuna comes, we rush to him with a book and say, Abuna, can you open this book for us so we know where the test is going to come? The concept itself actually is not right, but we didn't understand that at that time. Why? Because no matter what Abuna does, at the end, if I didn't do my work, God is not going to make me successful. This God is not going to work things like this. Otherwise, he would be promoting laziness. I will slack, and then I take the icons of the saints with me to the siesta, and that's it. I will be blessed. I'm going to do the church. Like sometimes you find this in before imtihan al-sanawiyya al-amma in Egypt. This is the biggest imtihan that decides everything, as we all know. Then people come and attend the liturgy only the night before the test. Yes, God is kind and merciful, but this concept about this kind of using God and I'm not doing my work is not biblical. God promised Joshua that he will be with him as he was with Moses. And God told him, the land that you will walk on will be yours. It's already given. Jericho was already promised to him before he goes there. But this did not hinder Joshua from planning, sending spies, and make a war plan in order for him to get over this kind of an obstacle, fighting. He needed to do his work, and God blessed him. Both of them should go hand in hand. We pray and we do our work. I study hard and I ask for God's blessings. Both of them will add to each other, will synchronize each other, but I cannot go with one without the other one, and I'm assuming that God is going to bless me because I just took maybe a picture of my favorite saint. So today we discussed the subject of blessing because of the paragraph that we heard about feeding the multitude. We spoke about forms of spiritual blessings and the causes of these blessings, and in the end, what concepts need to change about our perception of blessings. May God to bless all of you today and give us a blessed week with His presence in our lives, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.